Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Well, back in June 2014, the MacArthur family, owners of Asher's Baking Company, came under intense public scrutiny for their decision not to produce a cake with the slogan, "Support Gay Marriage," on. Their reason was that they were followers of Jesus Christ. They wanted to obey the teaching of his word. And what followed were legal battles lasting 4.5 years and thousands of angry comments and emails directed at them as a couple. Daniel and Amy MacArthur were clear throughout that they would honor God and take a stand on his word, despite the cost. Many of us sitting here this morning with a love for Jesus Christ will have experienced something similar, perhaps with less publicity, but the same hatred and antagonism towards the word of Jesus Christ and those who seek to follow him. Many of us sitting here this morning will have experienced suffering for Jesus Christ. Suffering in any form is not something that we naturally delight in, quite the opposite. But there is blessing and encouragement that comes from suffering for Christ. The obvious question is, why? Surely that's the equivalent of smiling through gritted teeth. Why can I find encouragement in my suffering for Christ? Well, this morning, as we look at 1 Peter 4, 12 to 19, we're going to see something of the good answer that God's word gives to this important question. We've been working through this letter of 1 Peter during the summer months. We've seen that the Apostle Peter writes with real love and tenderness to this group of Christian believers. These believers were living in modern-day Turkey. They were undergoing trials and persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. The tone of 1 Peter is one of encouragement, and there are clear themes that run through the letter. The reality of suffering, the importance of following Jesus' example, and the glorious destination awaiting the Christian believer. We've seen that 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 12 is an important anchor for the letter. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." In other words, be encouraged. God's grace is yours in Jesus. Keep living for him. We're going to look at 1 Peter 4, 12 to 19 under three headings this morning. Firstly, encouragement in suffering, the glory to be revealed. Peter begins a new section of the letter in chapter 4, verse 12, which is signposted by the opening words, "Dear friends," or "beloved." An echo of chapter 2, verse 11. And at the start of this new section, suffering for Christ is in plain view. Please look down with me at verses 12 and 13. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Well, if you're anything like me, your curiosity grasps hold of what's being described about this fiery ordeal that has come on them to test them, this suffering that they're enduring as Christian believers. It's easy to overlook the words just before that. Do not be surprised. This is not abnormal, says Peter. Peter has witnessed the life of Jesus Christ up close and personal. He's seen the hatred, the ridicule, the scorn, the brutality that Jesus Christ endured. And he's writing this letter years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. He's seen that the followers of Jesus endure the same treatment. Treatment from a world that hates Jesus. Jesus himself said in John 15, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." This is the norm, says Peter. This is the pattern for Christ's followers. Do not be surprised. The pattern of Christ begins with suffering. But the pattern of Christ doesn't end with suffering. After Jesus suffered, he was raised to life and glory, in great power and triumph. The pattern of Christ, suffering now with glories to follow, is to be stamped on the life of every Christian. We share in his sufferings. We will share in his glory. Peter says in verse 13, "Rejoice now as you suffer for Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Put another way, as we suffer for Christ in the present, we can look forward with certainty to eternal glory through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful encouragement, but these Christians weren't there yet. They have a fiery ordeal to endure first that has come on them to test them. It's likely that those Peter was writing to were under Roman oppression. Emperor Nero and other Roman leaders were infamous for their treatment of Christians, and their influence extended throughout the empire and into this region of modern-day Turkey. Whether verbal or physical suffering, there was much to endure for these believers. The Christian life isn't easy. It's a life of suffering now, with glories to follow. Well, I've always loved a good hike in beautiful countryside, and we seem to have reached a point as a family where the children are capable of taking on some proper mountains, which is brilliant. Over the summer, we've climbed Blencathra, Helvellyn, Scuffle Pike, and most recently, Snowdon, or Erwythfa, if you're Welsh. And the sight of Joel, age 5, descending from these summits, has prompted a number of comments. Our favourite from a group of young men being, if that baby can do it, then so can we. Now, these mountains have not been without difficulty. The gradients have been steep and prolonged. The ground has been loose and sharp underfoot. The wind has whipped up as we've climbed higher. We've had slips, we've had wasp stings, we've even had queues to endure. But the beauty and satisfaction of finishing and of reaching the summit has been really special. And that's something of the picture here. Peter's saying to these dear Christians, be encouraged. Suffering for Christ is normal for believers. Life as a Christian is hard. We follow the pattern of Christ, suffering first and glory to be revealed. It is painful in the present, but the best is yet to come. Christ's followers will be verbally abused. Christ's followers will be ridiculed. Christ's followers will be rejected by a world that hates Jesus. Christ's followers may even be physically abused and killed. If you're sitting here this morning or listening online and you know this suffering for Christ that Peter speaks of, be encouraged. Rejoice, not taking pleasure in the suffering itself, but knowing that it's a waypoint, a marker, as you journey on to glory in Jesus Christ. You're on the right path. We've seen the glory to be revealed. Secondly, encouragement in suffering, tested and found true. One of the things that can discourage or even frighten us about suffering for Jesus Christ is the thought of being alone or even abandoned by God as we suffer. But there's no biblical basis for that. Quite the opposite, in fact. God is always with us as we suffer for Christ. Please look down with me at verses 14 to 16. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Peter is clear on what he does and doesn't mean here. There is no blessing for suffering as a result of wrong behavior. There's no blessing for suffering as a consequence of sin. But if we're truly taking a stand for Christ, if we suffer undeservedly for his name's sake, then we are blessed. How so? We're blessed because God's Spirit rests on us. The same Spirit that rested on Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, he is with us. Far from being abandoned, we can know the presence of God. There's no shame for us. We can praise God that he has counted us worthy to bear Christ's name. It's wonderful to know that God is always with us as we suffer for Christ. It's also wonderful to know that he's using this suffering for his glorious purposes. Please look with me at verses 17 and 18. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Suffering for the name of Jesus Christ is not aimless. God, as the judge of all the earth, is using the suffering and persecution that believers endure. God is at work through this suffering to test and to refine us according to his perfect will. Remember back to verse 12. This fiery ordeal has come on them to test them. And please flick back a few pages in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. Peter writes, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God, the judge of all, uses suffering to test us so that our faith may be seen to be genuine. As we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are tested and found true. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And all things include suffering for Christ. And there's another encouragement for the believer here. As we're tested and found true by God in the present, we will avoid the terrible judgment to come. This judgment to come will fall on unbelievers. If you flick back to chapter 4 and verse 18, Peter quotes from Proverbs 11. He's making the point that it's hard for the righteous to be saved, literally with difficulty. He doesn't mean that our salvation is uncertain. Rather, it's hard for the righteous to be saved in the sense that there will be hardship and suffering in the Christian believer's life. Suffering now with glories to follow, as we've already seen. But the encouragement for the Christian is that the judge of all the earth will be far more severe on those who do not obey the gospel of God, on the ungodly and the sinner. And it's important to pause at this point in the passage. Peter is writing this letter to encourage believers. But there may be some here today who wouldn't claim to know Christ or to follow him. If that's you, you're most welcome. And I'm really glad you're here. The glorious message of the gospel is this. All of us have sinned. We've all rebelled against the God who made us and loves us. We're all undeserving of his grace and mercy. But God has stooped to save us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth from the glory of heaven. Whilst on this earth, Jesus suffered, even to death on a cross, bearing the penalty that our sins deserve. Jesus willingly died to take God's judgment for our sin in our place. And Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose in power and might. He ascended into heaven. And he will come again as Lord and Judge. So we have a choice. All of us here today. Will we gratefully receive Jesus' sacrifice for sins in our place? Will we follow him? A life of suffering now with glory to come. Or will we reject Jesus' offer of forgiveness? Will we choose to take the penalty that our sins deserve ourselves? Peter is clear, it will be far worse for those who do not obey the gospel of God. Please turn to Jesus Christ today. Well, at the start of our time, we were thinking about the MacArthur family, Daniel and Amy, and their willingness to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ by holding true to the word of God. After 4.5 years, the couple were often asked, was it worth it going through all this? To which they replied, absolutely, yes. We knew we were doing what God wanted us to do. And we believe we've been following in his will the whole time. They added, the thing that has really brought us through is God's word, by reading it and believing what God says, when he says that he's working things together for good and that his ways are perfect. God won't fail you. He'll be with you through it. You're not on your own. God's with you every step of the way. This all started over 4 years ago, and we find ourselves here at the very end of it. And it's only by God's goodness and grace that we are here. And we give all the glory to him. Tested and found true. Praise God for Daniel and Amy MacArthur. And that's how we should respond to verses 14 to 18. We should allow God's word to encourage us. We should praise God that we have been counted worthy of bearing the name of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged that as you suffer for Jesus, God's Spirit rests on you and you are blessed. Be encouraged that as you suffer for Jesus, God's wrath for sin will be avoided. Why? Because it's fallen on the Saviour in your place. Praise God. We've seen the glory to be revealed, and we've seen tested and found true. Finally, and more briefly, encouragement in suffering, the will of the faithful Creator. In verse 19, we see something of a summary and conclusion from Peter as he ties these verses together. Please look down with me. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. I'd like us to notice a couple of important phrases in this verse. Firstly, according to God's will. Our suffering for Christ isn't random. It isn't a mistake or an oversight from God. We suffer according to God's will, according to His good plan and purpose. And the second phrase that I'd like us to notice is how Peter describes God as the faithful Creator. God is the supreme, glorious being who has created all things. God is faithful and right and true in everything that He does. And do you see what happens when these phrases are paired together? Our suffering as believers is according to the will of our faithful Creator. The God who is faithful, right, and true has decided that it's best if at this point in our lives we suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. That's encouraging to hear, isn't it? Just like an experienced doctor telling you that the medicine won't taste nice, but it will help to make you better. When that foul flavor hits your tongue, it's still not pleasant, but you know that it's serving a good purpose. God is our faithful Creator who has shown His faithfulness and commitment to His people supremely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus has experienced suffering on a cross, then glory in His resurrection and ascension into heaven. Jesus has been through this so that we, God's people, can follow Him to glory. Having seen the faithfulness of God, will we endure suffering for Him? Will we commit ourselves to Him as He has committed Himself to us? I remember standing very close to where I'm stood now, 14 years ago, committing myself to my wife, Rachel, and listening to her as she committed herself to me before God. We promised to love one another for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. The promises that you make to one another are for the wonderful times in life, yes. But more importantly, the promises and commitments that you make to one another are for the really difficult times in life. And that's what's in view here, committing ourselves to God in the midst of suffering for Christ. continuing to do good, continuing to live for him when we're scorned and maligned as Christians? Will we stand fast in the true grace of God, even in the midst of suffering? Let me close with some words from Psalm 23 that we read together earlier. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father God, we're so humbled by your word. We're so humbled by your commitment to us in the finished work of Jesus Christ, your faithfulness to us, your goodness to us. We thank you for the glorious gospel. We thank you for your word. Help us, Father, to be encouraged to stand fast as followers of Jesus this morning. Help us to commit ourselves to you as you have committed yourself to us. Help us to live for Jesus in a world that hates Jesus. And we long, like the MacArthurs, we long that your name would be glorified as we do this. Amen.